Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Hi.
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
Oh, back in the same room once again, enjoying each other's company.
Back in LA, LA strong.
Trying to get the word out, LA strong. We gotta make bracelets, man.
What is the New York strong, LA strong? Is it or something?
Live strong was...
was the cyclist.
Yeah.
The disgraced cyclist.
Uh-huh. Former lover of Sheryl Crow.
Yes.
Her music and her personality.
Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong, yeah. Boston Strong was something. I think after the bombing, the
marathon
bombing,
shooting bombing.
Was that
bombing.
Boston Strong?
Yeah. What about Stiller Strong?
That, I forget what that is.
You know what was thrilling? Was one time back in the day, we were doing a show at UCB. In LA, UCB Franklin.
This is where the pod gets good. A story from back in the day.
Back in that day. It's a little bit of retro rewind. This was a little black box theater, and we're doing a show, and Robin Williams pops in and does the show. And there was an era where there was like a summer where he's popping in a lot.
He like lived close to there or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it also kind of came out that he had maybe kind of fallen off the wagon that summer.
He needed some structure or something.
But on one particular night, a show that we were in the lineup for, he pops in, he's doing some wacky Robin. I never understood what he was saying. He didn't really make any sense. But his little buddy that he brought with him that was sitting in the front row watching was Lance Armstrong.
They had a real bromance going there.
So Lance Armstrong has seen the Birthday Boys sketch group perform.
What? Mm-hmm. He's one of the lucky ones because not everyone has.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Huh. That's nuts. I remember one time Christopher Guest, we probably talked about this too. Christopher Guest came into a show. He was watching the show before us or something, then stuck around. And it was like, oh man, that guy's funny.
Do you remember there was a show?
I hope he thinks I'm funny.
There was a show we did up in the Valley. It was like back when it was one of those like weird.
Friend of a friend shows.
And Jimmy Kimmel and his production staff or like his writer's room came because Kimmel's niece was also performing that night.
Right.
And we looked out in the curtain and saw him asleep in the stands. Like if you're Kimmel, you have a TV show. You don't at 12 midnight on a weekday.
Jimmy Kimmel is a guy I feel like I really... I've warmed up to him. Not that I ever disliked Jimmy Kimmel, but when I was watching him host the Oscars this year, I was like, he has the appropriate like detachment, you know, like you never catch him being like, oh my God, we've got a great show tonight. I would never make fun of another comedian. I'm a comedian, so you don't know what I'm saying, but oh my God, we've got Reggie Watts is here. We've got a great show.
My stomach is full of Balthazar.
Hey.
Bleep that because
we don't body shame on this show.
No, we don't.
Could be anyone.
Could be anyone.
That's repugnant. But you know what I mean? Like the trick to hosting the Oscars is to not revere it. To just be like, oh yeah, like hey, here's some big celebrities, and then
He's a good like comedy first guy. Even on his show, like he speaks to both sides and people like him.
And he likes to like pick on celebrities. I think that's fun.
Yeah, it's great.
He's fun.
Well, he's been awful to Matt Damon over the years.
That's true. Yeah,
will they ever figure that out?
Oh. That long-standing feud.
I think even at the Oscars, like it ended with like a Matt Damon joke or something.
Yeah.
Too bad for Matt. Too bad for Ben.
Did I tell you this Instagram video I saw recently where Ben talked about the money? This is my favorite topic in the world. He said how much he got paid for Good Will Hunting.
Oh, right.
Oh, was it pitifully small?
Well, no, but it was, kind of. It was 1996, right? Or 1998. So adjust in your head for numbers. But
yeah, I'm good at that.
The script fee for Good Will Hunting is $300,000. He co-wrote the movie with Matt Damon, so they split it. They each get $150,000.
But also reps and stuff. Come
reps,
on.
Reps, agent, manager, lawyer, taxes.
Taxes.
You get half of that money. So he said he got $75,000 and he bought a $56,000 car.
Oh.
And then he's like, so I'm like the toast of Hollywood and I think I'm hot shit, but I'm like, I need a job. You know,
I wonder what car he got too that year. Like
he said, it was like a big douchey SUV. I think.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like, cause like,
well, I think it was like a luxury SUV.
Uh-huh. Before it was like, I got the Toyota Corolla that year and I was feeling good. How do we feel? Let me ask you about this shirt. Look at this shirt.
I have strong positive feelings for this shirt.
It's big. It's blousy. It's a women's shirt.
It's tangerine colored, let's say.
So the buttons are on the lady side?
Buttons are on the lady side, but I bought it for like a show shirt. I think that's kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
But it is like I just was walking around and I caught myself in a full-length mirror and I look like a big bell.
It's billowy.
It's like
no, people know that's not your body shape. They know not, but also not to body shame.
That's a body shape.
But they'll say that's a funny shaped shirt on a long lean man. They won't say it's a bell shaped man.
Yeah, that's true. But I do like how loose and flowy it is.
It's flowy. Nice. And nice.
When I walked into Jeff's place here, I looked at you were lounging on the couch and it was like, you looked like you were on vacation.
I feel like I'm on vacation.
Do you know why women's buttons are on the other side?
Yes.
Yes.
It's because men used to have people button their stuff for them, yes, and wrap around.
Women. I used to have people button women? Their stuff for them.
Yeah. So the wealthy dudes still had to do it themselves, huh?
Yeah, the poor, even Louis XIV himself.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yes, I get you. Hmm. I had to do it in my head. Also, I was missing a button, too, so if you see a big
beep. Porthole. Sometimes, though, you wear a belt the wrong way, and that'll throw you off.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Like if you're wearing a strange belt, let's say you borrow a belt.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you put it in upside down.
That's right. Because there's that one hole that like it all works so well, but you got to go maybe down a hole because it's not your belt.
If it's not your belt, oof. Oof. Sometimes you put it on upside down or backwards and you can't get the thing off.
I got a big honking leather belt I want to wear more, but it's so stiff. But the only way I can break it in is to wear it, but I don't want to wear it.
It adds 2 pounds of the pants.
You could, I don't want to wear it, but I have to wear it in order to break it in.
You could break in the belt other ways. You could beat someone with it.
That's true. I could just go around my, I could beat my rugs.
Get back here.
Get my dust out of my rugs.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather beat rugs than
another human.
Fellow humans, Jeff.
Than your fellow man.
Yeah, you're a humanitarian.
Only in that respect. Mm-hmm.
In this one regard.
Should we talk about the live shows we have coming up? Should we mention Chicago?
Should we reminisce about the ones we've already done?
We should.
What if we got all
real quick, Jeff? We are recording, right? I just don't see a timer on the Wispa or the Wii.
No.
Link. Okay.
Does no do no video this week? Or say sorry, folks, late start.
I think I don't like video to begin with. I think it's
well, you know what? Let's
barking
just,
up the wrong tree.
Let's not put it out this week and see if people go nuts.
Okay.
You know?
And let's keep all this in. Let them know.
Sure. Whatever you want.
That's awesome. It's a peek behind the curtain. And everyone knows Duddy's fault.
Video's on the chopping block. Well, it is my fault.
Why?
But because I didn't press start recording.
But
on
we
the
had
screen.
A hectic. This was a harried getting this
but
thing
also,
going.
I'll say this.
Like, what's it doing for us? Half our shit isn't monetizable because we use people's songs and we do mashups. Even our own stuff gets flagged.
Believe this so that the people don't get to know our finances. But when it's monetized, how much do we make off of an episode of the show?
I'm sure it's fucking nothing.
Okay, so, well, that's bleeped. but I'll say this. even though you might think I look fantastic right now,
you do.
I don't really, I'm not camera ready. You know, I'm not shaved. I'm not showered. I always feel like shit. And then it's like every in my life. No, bleep that. I don't want to say what night we record.
Okay. A lot of bleeps.
So all 1 week.
Anybody want to say their social security number or anything? Yeah. Well, man's got the bleeps already.
60.
But you know what I mean? Like in my normal life, I only have to be camera ready like twice a year. Like I'm going to a wedding or I cast to say one line on a TV show.
And the Emmys
Emmys that time.
Yeah, that was one of the two times that year.
Yeah, you look great.
Thank you. But the idea that weekly I have to be camera ready.
It sucks.
Bleep that day. We don't want to say what day we record.
No, we will.
No, I don't like people knowing.
And then,
because then they'll show up to my house and know that I'm in the back recording, and they'll go to the kitchen and help themselves.
He's all
my
indisposed. Like, he's all
this mortadella's up for grabs because Tim's recording.
What's the big deal?
I love my tomahawk steak.
Between the hours of. PM Tim is indisposed. We're going to bleep all that, though.
It's all bleeped. A one big long, minute long bleep.
Yeah, well, you know, so we're scrappy pod. People don't expect us to look like...
We're the sloppy boys. Taylor, I think that makes Lautner? Sense. Right. Or his counterpart,
Edward Cullen.
Edward Cullen. We had a joke recently that Edward... was scared of vampires or something. It was backstage recently. He was like, he read the script for Twilight, and he got on set. He's like, "What? We're vampires?"
wait. What was we were laughing at a vampire thing? Yeah,
is that it?
Yeah, it was that. Say it again.
If we could only remember what it was.
That was so funny to us.
He was afraid.
Sorry, folks.
Okay.
He wanted garlic repellent.
That's what it was.
He ordered garlic repellent.
Because garlic repels vampires, so he figured he needed garlic repellent.
so many repellents.
That is not, I said that, and that's not what I intended, but that is good logic. That's funnier logic. Mine was just, I should have said vampire repellent.
Vampire repellent.
I should have said that.
Huh.
But, heavy accent, now it's
a little free punch up.
Yeah.
That ain't bad.
Thank you.
You know what's funny is, when you said repellent, you weren't trying to necessarily make a Batman reference. You're just talking about garlic and vampires. Mm. But in the Adam West Batman movie,
yes,
there's a shark getting him, and he's like, "Robin, give me the shark repellent." And that's something I rented that VHS tape when I was like five, and I watched it, and I didn't get that was a joke, and I was like, "Okay, good." And then I watched it again when I was like, value. And then, but like at like 10 years old, I was like, "Shark repellent."
That's so he's silly. Like in the back of the car, like shark repellent.
Man, that bomb joke is the funniest shit ever.
Oh, he's running around with the bomb.
Yeah, and he's like trying to find a place to ditch this like comically large bomb, It's like a group of nuns, a group of kids, like, and then so he runs through like five different options, and then keeps going, and he's back to the beginning again. It's like the nuns again or something. I forget what he ends up doing, like throwing it over.
I don't remember. I saw that movie so long, like as a kid, I don't remember any of it. But I do know it's funny.
It's very Naked Gun-ish, that moment.
Yeah, that's a show I want to watch, too. The Naked Gun show. I've seen the movie.
Me, too.
Movies.
Police Squad.
Right,
Police Squad.
Naked Gun from the files of Police Squad.
Ah. What does Naked Gun refer to? It was just a funny phrase?
I don't know.
Maybe it's like a... Maybe Naked Lunch? Like,
I think it's like a parody of those like erotic thrillers like Indecent Proposal and stuff like that.
It would have been before think. Yeah, because it's like 86.
Okay. What are those other ones, though? There's Indecent... Fatal Attraction.
Basic.
Basic Instinct.
Basic Instinct, I mean.
Those are fun movies.
Basic. That's a show about me.
Basic. From the makers of Mid.
We stand Mid.
Well, is that enough shit chat?
No, we were going to reminisce about shows past, which is not necessary.
And then promote shows future.
Short. Yeah, we've had some really good shows recently.
Yeah, thanks to everyone who came out to the LA show. LA shows, we had two.
Yeah.
We played on the Sunset Strip, secret show.
Secret show at the Rainbow Bar and Grill.
Secret warm-up show.
Irrelevant Elephants asked us to basically...
Yeah.
Open for them.
They wailed too, by the way.
Because one of dudes, Zach, bartended your birthday, Jeff, befriended him.
Yeah.
And then what was the best about this show was before the show, where's our green room? Where's our backstage? Where do we hang out? We get the nook, the very spot where Alice Cooper, Mickey Dolenz,
John Lennon,
Ringo Starr.
Questions for Lennon.
Harry Nilsson with a Hollywood vampire.
Questions for Lennon up there.
You should.
Yeah.
These guys used to hang and drink up there.
John Keith Lennon Moon.
Soaking the tune.
Yeah, I should tell John Lennon. Moon. Keith Moon was in that group too, yeah.
But it was I felt very cool waiting to play a set while sitting in that most historic of rooms.
It's tiny. It's like you have to like duck in to get in there.
You stow the instruments in there, and sometimes you see a giant cockroach.
Oh, Jeff. Wow, that was a big boy. It was big.
That was funny. You guys were like, careful, Tim. We saw a cockroach. And I was like, oh, boy. And you're like, you can see his body right there. And it was like, so he was still there, but you guys had killed him, but he was just still sitting
there. Yeah, I read it because he was closest to it. I was like, you got to stop that thing. And he did a little bit. And I was like, it's still moving.
Oof, that was a double stop.
Yeah,
it was huge. But I watched a feature-length documentary about the rainbow that day. It's on YouTube.
Ah.
And there's all this, you know, it's Lemmy from Motorhead most famously hung out there like every day. He'd sit at the end of the bar and play video poker.
Nice. And yeah, they've got like a statue of him in the patio, and then on TVs and stuff, there was just like a Lemmy
video poker
montage.
That'd be funny if that
a fellow gamer.
Well, I wonder if that montage was playing while he was there. But then what? John Belushi ate his last meal there, lentil soup. Joe DiMaggio met Marilyn Monroe there. Jonesy from the Sex Pistols said that he got a blowjob under every table there.
Other person was on the table, not him.
No, he would go under the table, poke his dick up.
Oh, God. There's a funny thing like two people going under a table to you know. Explore.
Explore each other's sexuality.
You had a surprise one in that list. On stage, you said that's where Dr. Dre saw Eminem.
Oh, signed him.
Yes.
Saw him. Signed him or saw him?
Signed
or
and saw.
Discovered him.
Discovered.
I think he signed his body. He wrote Dr. Dre in his
arm. Can I get your autograph?
Wait, he saw him perform?
According to this documentary, Dr. Dre saw Eminem there.
Funny little space that was. What we're in. It was.
Yeah, kind of seemed
like they never had a real stage there.
No, because it wasn't famous in this documentary. They weren't saying like this is a famous music venue. Yeah, they're saying this is a famous restaurant, and all the music happened at the Roxy and the Whiskey and the Viper Room.
Yeah.
Man, that's funny though. Remember that there's that like building that looks like a house across the street and a little bit closer to us. It used to be called like the Red Room or like the Red.
Oh,
are you familiar with this?
Red Rocks?
Not Red Rocks. That's the amphitheater. But it was
Red Rock.
Red Rock.
Yeah,
Red
Rock. Yeah.
That's where we saw Papa Roach.
We went there one time. Was that the same time where we tried to go upstairs and we couldn't go up there because Dr. Dre and his entourage were up there?
Oh, damn.
So that's funny that Dr. Dre at least twice has been on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
You don't think of that being like a hip hop producer's stomping ground. You think of it being a...
Maybe it's just a music like that. The Sunset Strip is just like if you make music.
I would also say that Dr. Dre is like out of touch. Like he's not an indie sleaze guy.
Right.
But I would say, did you watch Defiant Ones? It's like he hangs out at his mansion in Malibu.
Yes.
And he's from South Central.
He's out of touch in a billionaire way.
Right.
He's not just a dork, but
you're saying like the bar that he hangs out at, you don't like you wouldn't have been like, oh yeah, why is he not like at fuck the Shortstop or something?
Oh yeah, right.
Where Mark Furman hung out.
I wonder what Dr. Dre's favorite band is, like rock band.
Who's listening to Nirvana in the Defiant Ones.
Ah.
That song's like...
Rappers love Nirvana. Long before like grunge came back, always rappers are like Kurt Cobain.
Interesting. Maybe because he told it like it is.
He's a bad boy.
I think
it's
because he's cool.
He's cool.
Yeah, he's cool. Oh, I just watched... Did I talk about this last podcast? I just watched Nirvana live at the Paramount. I forget what it is. It was a bunch of clips I saw on YouTube. But it was a really cool... I think it's a feature or like a concert movie from them. But it looked so cool. It was just like kind of like the Lodge Room. It was like a stage that looked like kind of wood flooring and just a bunch of people out there, everyone going nuts, like a small space too. So people, a smallish space so people could really feel intimate.
Love the Lodge Room, by the way.
Yeah. Love the Lodge Room.
I mean, it's funny to go from like the more storied Sunset Strip to the Lodge Room, which is just like, you know, Highland Park. It's a Masonic lodge that
it's got stories of its own.
But
not,
you know, this is one where they're miking the kick drum and there's subwoofers under the stage.
It's show business.
Yeah,
they got a crew helping you.
They got a nice big crew.
Really
the,
nice.
The mixers are so pro and great.
The mixers are mixing.
Can I say something about Red Rock for once?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys were with me. I think you were. Standing on the sidewalk out front, we saw Jacoby Shaddix,
aka right.
Kobe Dick from Papa Roach. Mm-hmm. And he took his dick out. And he was like waggling it around.
Oh, I don't remember that.
He was showing off and trying to be funny. And
I don't think I saw
also
that.
That same night, I want to say we had a friend named from Ithaca, mm-hmm. and he got punched. And he
got in a fight with someone, and got punched, and like that scary thing of like falling back and hitting your head.
He hit his head, and his head bled out onto the sidewalk.
Whoa,
yeah.
He was ultimately fine, but I think that type of stuff. I hate those types of things where it's like. Oh, yeah, he got in a bar fight, got hit wrong, and now he's, like, paralyzed.
Oh, you hate that? But I didn't realize. I hate
stories. Like, it's like, geez, guys.
I never asked your pet peeve.
Yeah. It just goes to show you that the human life can be so fragile.
That's why Hanford's don'ts.
Yeah. Don't mess with anybody when you're out.
Yeah.
Don't get involved in a fight. Don't fight.
I was there that night, unless you guys went to the Red Rock a lot.
No.
No.
It was the one time, right?
That was the one time.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Damn. Now it's called, like, Le Petit.
Yeah, they had a new name.
It was Le Petite Maison.
I do like those places. I like that place and Rainbow. Are we saying Rainbow Room? Because that's
Rainbow
what
Grill.
New York is.
It's called the Rainbow Bar and Grill. I think you could just say the Rainbow.
The Rainbow. Okay.
It's cool. It's like familiar with it.
Yeah. I'm at the Rainbow. No, I like those bars that are like old houses.
Yes,
because the Rainbow had so many like different stairways all around, and it felt really.
Oh yeah, it's a real maze of like split levels and stuff, and you really feel like you're in a weird dream because the people you're seeing are frozen in time, and you'll see like some girl. You're like, well, she's from 1986 because she's got the teased bangs and she's wearing like Sunset Strip like hair metal era clothes, but you're like. But she's like 20 years old, so she wasn't around.
I'm
doing the math, and I don't think she was around.
This was the major observation from our episode of the Sloppy Boys Blowout, where we just kind of toured the strip.
Yes.
Carousing.
Mm-hmm.
And
checking it out.
We saw people, hustling down the street with instrument cases who looked like they were from 79.
Yeah, right.
An aesthetic that has persevered in that one area.
I guess if you're that type of person all over the world, you move to the Sunset Strip to find your people. But
like you're tying bandanas around your neck and your knee.
But it's funny that what your brain does is when you see someone like that,
like
the dudes in the bands or the groupie girls with them, for a second, my brain is like, oh, they're cool. But then you're like, no, they're actually like huge dorks. Like, what's dorkier than picking
what
an aesthetic?
What are you talking about?
Because like,
it's a little
like
cosplayish.
But it is like, it's just that they're choosing like, I think I kind of want to be like this. Is that okay?
Well, it's like if you see goth people, in goth attire, it almost seems like the same. I mean, it's kind of very similar music, but it's like. Yeah, cosplaying like a different look, like a non-normal look.
And I mean, I think when I see a goth, I do think that's a dork. I'm rarely like,
I don't know, man. I mean,
I don't know the goths you're seeing, man.
There's a lot of overlap between goths and dorks, but I think there are some cool looking goths for sure.
Cool looking.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's a timeless. I don't know when it started.
When you get into elf ears, that's where I start to check out.
Oh yeah, that's where I start. That's where I hop on.
That's where Tim checks in.
That's where I hobbit on.
That's where Dunstan checks in. I said that's where Dunstan checks in.
Okay.
Wait.
That monkey, that orangutan who ran the hotel.
We had a joke about Dunstan in the Comedy Bang Bang writers' room. It was about Dunstan checks out, or
I don't know.
Well,
I just heard a funny little quote on Instagram or TikTok or something. Somebody was like, it's my theory that all metalheads are nice people. Nice people. Sorry. What is it? So I'm online, right?
Yeah.
Long on.
Take us through it.
Metalheads are nice people cosplaying as metalheads, and hippies are mean people cosplaying as hippies.
Interesting.
I thought, that's not so. The metalheads I've met have been very nice, and I've met some shitty hippies.
That's true. The goths are outwardly scary, huh? But they often are tortured souls inside.
I don't Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean by goth?
Just like sensitive folks who like are they have like a sort of a porcupine approach to life where they're like to protect themselves. They look a little scary.
Right. Stay away from me.
Yeah.
I'll only get hurt by you.
I tried to pivot to the lodge room and we pivoted right back to the Sunset Strip.
Whoops.
Pivot to the lodge room.
Do we talk about lodge room?
We played with Don't Stop or We'll Die and Lamar Woods and we rocked it. It was
fucking
great.
Ripped.
Lamar Woods crushed. We crushed.
I played a solo with Lamar.
That was cool. Awesome.
That was cool.
It was Lamar Woods, Phil Jackson, and, with Carl microphones. Tart. And then Carl Tart was DJ. DJing? Yeah, I guess.
On the ones and twos, yeah.
Ones and twos. Mm-hmm.
Carl took DJ classes. He's a legit DJ. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounds weird to me to say DJing a concert because I always think of DJs as just like dance music. Like,
sure.
Right. Something people dance to.
But yeah. Think about three MCs and one DJ.
Right.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
Yeah, what's your thoughts?
Not my favorite of the Beastie Boys songs.
Whoa. Hope Mark's not listening.
Shit! Was he on that?
No.
What if we found out that Money Mark is a huge fan of the podcast and listens every week and subscribes to the Patreon?
I'd like that.
I would like that.
Tell your friends.
Let's talk about the new stuff. What's coming out? What's coming to a theater near you?
Blood, Sweat, and Beers.
We already did our online watch party of the movie Blood, Sweat, and Beers.
Yes.
Which is a documentary about us making the album Sonic Ranch. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have now witnessed it on their computer, but what you're going to want to do is first and foremost, come see us play live shows in Chicago at Beat Kitchen and live shows in Milwaukee at Cactus Club. Then yeah,
second show added at Cactus Club, by the way.
Yeah. Second show at Beat Kitchen in Chicago as well.
Yes.
But then April 9th at the Chelsea Music Hall in Manhattan.
May 9th.
What did I say?
April.
I meant May. Come see the movie. We're going to be there with the director and we're going to do a Q&A type stuff and have a fun night at the Chelsea Music Hall May 9th. Then the very next night in Brooklyn at Littlefield, we're playing a huge fat set. The longest set we've ever played.
We're playing two sets.
We're playing two
sets.
Taking
a break.
It's an all-night thrill.
Yeah. We're no opening band. It's us, baby.
They asked us, do you want a local opener? And we said,
we'll open for ourselves.
Mike lives in Brooklyn.
We're local as hell. We'll do it.
And then
yes, the 11th,
the very next day, we're going to be up in Westerly, Rhode Island, playing the Alternative Comedy Festival with Big Grande.
That's funny. That is up in, I'm thinking of Rhode Island as under Manhattan. You're right.
No, it's up.
It's up.
It's up.
Up and over.
Up past Connecticut. On your way to Massachusetts.
With Big Grande, you love Big Grande. We know
and
that.
Then the very next day, we're going to do a movie screening there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Also at the United Theater.
Mother's Day. Yeah. Maybe you bring mom.
Maybe mom wants to see.
Give her a little brunch on the way and the car ride over.
Then spend the whole next week with your mom, but get out to Pennsylvania, folks, because... May 24th.
Yes.
We're playing at Bottle Rocket Social Hall
in Pittsburgh.
That's a real cool
place. That's gonna be a super fun one. And that's the one I told you about. I had played a stand-up show there and the owner or the guy who runs the owner texted me. He was like, hey, any thoughts maybe having the Sloppy Boys do a show here? Somebody in the supermarket just said to me, hey, when are you going to book the Sloppy Boys?
Wow.
He always goes to the supermarket for his booking ideas.
He's like, what are people listening to? He's like, oh, they're playing Eve 6 on the radio. I'm going to book them.
I guess this guy can't walk down the street anymore. People yelling at the Sloppy Boys demo.
Yeah.
Well, but wait.
The next day.
Yes. May 25th.
Philadelphia, May 25th at Philomoka. We are doing a screening Q&A type of vibe of the movie, but then we're also playing a big fat show there live.
Wow.
Now that screening sold out so fast, but then there's more tickets you could buy just to come in. They'll move out the chairs and fit a few more people in for the rock show.
Right. But then let's say you didn't get to see the movie. Oh.
Then I'll be sad only for that one night because the next day there's a matinee to come see the movie. We'll be there again.
Sunday
and
then
happy again.
May 26th to Philomoka. Wow.
And then we're done for a while and I can relax.
We can rest up, write and record a new album, make a documentary about that, roll it out next year.
This is a lot of stuff. I can't actually think of another podcast that has so much quite going on in their lives.
Or band.
No, Yeah. And also a lot of podcasts, like even just the podcast itself is bad. So if you take the fact that we have a good podcast and then we're a band that recently came out with an album
and the band's even better than that
videos good podcast. Stuff. Exactly. Yep. And then we're playing live shows, but then we also have a movie coming out. It's sort of like a groovement. Mm.
That's right.
The pod's even a groovement.
The pod's a groovement. The pod is more of advertisement for the live stuff. And the blowout.
Sure. Yeah.
The way that Marvel movies are just advertisements for the rides.
Yeah. You actually lose money. It's a loss leader, but it gets people in the door. So maybe Walmart will like sell a new movie for like $8.99, but it gets you in the door and then you buy $200 worth of stuff.
Worth of movies.
We should change the name of this podcast to Loss Leader.
All right. Should we get into booze news?
Oh, geez, like fucking...
Okay, good.
I just said, hold on. You're going to get to that quiz. Let me say something. Oppressed meat piss. That's like what it is. Should we split a nitrous pop? Okay, you would do a full quiz. I hate those characters in movies that are like oppressed meat bits. I just said, hold on, you're gonna get to that quiz. Let me say something.
It's booze news. You.
Nitrous pop.
Good one.
That was. That was Meat Bits sent to us by Alan Press. And if you have a booze news theme, email it to the Sloppy Boys Podcast at gmail.com. When you said oppressed, did you mean processed?
Probably.
We were high, right?
Probably.
That was the THC.
That was the THC. Who was that? Adam Press?
We haven't heard from him.
Alan Press. I'm impressed. He's new, huh? Yeah, I've never heard of that.
He's new. He's on the scene, man.
Right on, Press Man.
Watch your ass, Kanger.
We don't know it's a person. It could be like Alan Press, like it's a
firm.
Yeah.
A whole legion of people.
It's a print media outlet.
It's owned by Rupert Murdoch.
Alan,
you have a press.
What are you doing?
Better than that Gutenberg press. I'll tell you.
This is one of the guys, he watches Succession and says, that's how I want to be like that.
Yeah, Succession or Succession?
Succession.
put on Succession. Every day I put on HBO and I watch Succession.
HBO?
HBO sucks. They got Succession. They got...
it's cheaper than HBO, but...
Sofranos.
Encourage.
Encourage.
Well, that's a sketch and we'll shoot it. Okay, do you want to hear some booze news?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's about time.
I would.
This was shared with me by my sister of all people.
Hey!
Nice.
Lily Kay.
Yeah. Who's got a cookbook coming out, by the way, that's out exciting. There. It's a book about small kitchen cooking. Let's say you're a camper life, off the grid type of person.
Clear a space in your kitchen for this book, folks.
She's got drinks in there. She's got an Amaro spritz, the batch, really? You know, if you're camping.
Damn. Yeah. We should have a book.
Absolutely.
We can take this out if we don't want to talk too much about her, but built a house.
Yes.
Built her own house. She and her boyfriend built her own house.
First.
Unbelievable.
And also, before they even could get to that point to build the house, they bought like a 70s Winnebago camper and renovated that so that I would have some place to live while building the house.
This is like their big COVID project.
This is their big COVID project.
Two living spaces.
Living spaces. Anyway, she brought this to my attention, which was, do you guys follow Britney Spears on Instagram?
No, but I see some of the things.
A lot of people are obsessed with it.
We saw the knife dance. Well, you remember the whole Britney thing. People theorized that she was being suppressed.
Yes.
And oppressed.
Mm-hmm. Her father was.
Yeah. And like, you know, truthers were like dissecting every little eye movement for like she needs help and all this stuff.
This was back during the conservatorship?
Pre-conservatorship. Uh-huh. And then it all came to light that it was like. True. Not that every little eye twitch was a cry for help.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But that, yes, something was wrong and that it did kind of blossom into this whole releasing her of the conservatorship. Mm-hmm, crazy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, sorry. Brittany on Insta.
When she got out of her conservatorship, apparently she had celebrated with a with a glass of champagne. She broke her sobriety and had
nothing wrong with it. Oh, well.
But anyway, more recently, there was some weird stuff happening on her. You know, I've heard rumors about stuff with her, but she had some cryptic kind of posts about like people, you know, like people trying to control her or whatever. And then she like deactivated. And I think as of now, as of the taping of this pod, she is deactivated from Instagram. But in the mix, there were some weird posts, but there was one post where she, the caption was, "Everything is totally fine." And then the monkey covering his eyes face, everything's totally fine. But the picture is a little bottle of Veuve Clicquot champagne. Uh-oh. And a little bottle of tahine. And, wow. And also, does it look like there's ice in her champagne flute?
Looks like it, yeah.
That's not as weird as tahine next to your Veuve, though.
Now, is the tahine going into the... Yeah, that is...
What's the plan here, Brittany?
It looks posed as if she's telling the world that there's a new drink in town that's...
Dashing? Maybe she dashes a little tahine in there?
Yeah, like, I'm zooming in on her champagne flute, and it doesn't look very tahined, but... That's my interpretation, is that Brittany is a champagne person, but so that she now drinks champagne with tahine in it. Mike, you put tahine rim on your tahine teeny. We've covered a lot of tahine. There was that hip hop song that I brought in. It's the year of tahine going in the drinks, folks. There was the TikTok trend. There's tahine on the rim. Tahine.
It's here to stay, folks.
Here to stay.
Now.
Damn.
Yeah, it does seem like, you know, it's not going to be like drink of the summer, but no, we could maybe call it like ingredient of the summer, garnish of the summer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like
salt of the summer, even.
Red salt of the summer.
Red salt of the summer.
Because there was the Himalayan salt summer at one point. The pink stuff.
I was going to say it might be spice of the summer, but I think that's going to go to Dune 2.
Oh, yeah. It could be a spice weed. It could be a movie.
I haven't watched spices like they're like unobtainium or like
it's like, yeah, basically, yeah, Arrakis is spice and also fuel stuff. I think
it's a precious mineral. It enables hyperspace travel. It also it enables people to like meditate really deeply.
Is
it's
that
like,
what the Fremen are all about?
Yeah, it's like, so it's like a spiritual thing, and it's also enables like hyperspace travel. Yeah,
that was I really enjoyed that stuff, movie. I enjoyed.
Yeah, but let's talk about the popcorn container. That to me was a little iffy. Yeah.
What was that? Was it just big?
It was like the sandworm.
It looked like a fleshlight.
Like a big nasty sci-fi fleshlight.
Yeah, I ain't putting my hand in that thing, man.
I don't know, man. Are people going to be putting tahines on tahine in their batangas at this point?
That could be good.
But see, you can't just put tahine on anything. I don't think it's welcome just anywhere. I wouldn't put it in champagne. That's fucked up.
Yeah, it sounds weird.
That's like one of the weirdest ones.
Yeah, it might just be one of those things. You know, like sometimes when people say like, oh, I like chocolate with a little salt on. When I first heard that, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I don't particularly like it, but I can see maybe the teen just does something.
Here's what's weird is like champagne. You put OJ in champagne, it's a mimosa. I could imagine a mimosa rimmed with tahini, kind of. But then
because of the orange, because of the citrus. Right. Now I'm back on board.
Now it's bringing it into michelada territory, sort of.
I have a feeling tahine could also go very well into a bloody.
Oh, yeah.
That might be nice.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah. Well, no spoil. We got some big plans for next week.
Yeah,
big time. I think, you know, I'm excited for the drink of the day this week. I'm also excited because it's Jeffy's time to shine next week.
Next week.
I think finally, at long last, I've gathered up enough dust.
Yeah.
But that's all I'll say.
Damn.
That's all I'll say.
He's gathered enough dust. Dun dust?
Imagine gathering dust to be a positive thing. What is that supposed to be?
I know. That's
normally
nice.
You don't want to be gathering dust. Maybe it's
just you're saying about someone who's just sitting on the sidelines, you know?
Yeah.
But this guy's been in the test kitchen gathering dust.
Okay.
Wrap it up.
All right. So today's the day. I told you guys this for a couple weeks. I had an idea for a drink. Did it go in the test kitchen? No. I don't know what it's going to taste like.
No.
I have not tasted this.
Tim is on me about doing the test kitchen for the next episode.
You reveal too much to Tim. Don't tell Tim what you're up to.
You bring it here without a test kitchen?
We went through this with the grimace piss.
That's
and we were mad
how
at you.
Confident I am in
oh.
this.
Okay.
And here's here's the thing. I'm gonna reveal in just a second, but I've got to move over. Before I do,
this is a totally different story from last time.
I'm gonna tell you this. What's a totally different story?
Grimace Biss.
Oh yes, yeah. That was us. I've come around. That was a mess. That was somewhat of a mess.
You posted your L.
This is a product that came out, just came out, a new version of a product on February 19th.
Wow.
So let me get over there. I'll reveal.
So too late for Valentine's Day. I'm not thinking hearts. I'm not thinking chocolates.
But it is interesting that you brought up, we were talking about tahini, yes?
Yes.
Hold on, Mike. I'm going to get the camera ready. We've got to monetize everything around here. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Today, we are having something.
Hold on. Wait. Before you do, guys, there's like, just for listeners to picture, there's like a stump. There's like a little coffee table, yes, drum type of thing.
Side table.
And then on top of that, Mike has put an upside down grocery bag,
yeah.
A Trader Joe's brown paper bag.
A wrinkly brown bag on top.
And it's like the sheath, which it's like he's like a magician about to pull the sheet off of a bird cage. Well, that wouldn't be what a magician is.
If there's a rabbit under here, I'm dead meat.
Right.
Okay. So we are going to try tonight the rum and spiced Coke spiced.
Oh my god.
Spiced Coca-Cola.
Mike, and the word spice was just being thrown around and you zipped the lip.
That's what I'm saying.
I have not had Coke Spice. I had the one that they came out with like a couple years ago that was like Starlight or whatever.
Yeah.
And it tasted like cotton candy.
Weird.
Yeah. They had a few other ones. They had like something called Movement too, like Coke Movement. They had something that
I guess flavors don't have to be based on anything anymore in 2024.
No.
Like Celsius does this too, my beloved Celsius. It's the new Red Bull to me.
Yeah.
They have one called, they throw on the word vibe a lot because they're Gen Z. So it'll be like peach vibe. I mean, you know that's peach.
It's not peach taste, it's just peach vibe.
Peach vibe. Yeah. But it actually tastes very peach-like. But there's one called Arctic vibe.
Maybe it's nectarine. Furry nectarine.
But there's one called Arctic vibe that is just like blue and it tastes like blue Gatorade.
And it's
all right. Arctic
Gatorade, right? Or no, they own Powerade. Sorry.
Oh, I don't know. But
Powerade owns Gatorade.
But anyway, there's also they throw around like tropical vibe, Arctic vibe, galaxy vibe. Yeah. This is the way Coke does, like, yeah, this one's Starlight flavored.
Yeah, and there was another one, I forget what it was called. It may have been called Transition, but it was the pop singer Rosalia. She's dating the dude from The Bear. They had a collab with her, and I think it was called Transition, and the description of it was like, it sort of like changes the taste changes in your mouth a little bit. Ooh. Or something.
I had this one and I didn't know that was the concept. I drank it and I just thought it was like really sweet.
Okay,
that's such a bizarre thing to try and do. Like, you're trying to mass produce basically like a Trinidad Sour or something.
Right, pinging and banging.
But this, what I read, I haven't tried one of these Coke Spiced, Coca-Cola Spiced yet.
And you got some fresh
ones. Actually, we have three. Before we go to make the drink, let's each take a sip and just see what that tastes.
Yeah, let's do that.
But that came out. Apparently it tastes like raspberry Coke with like a little bit of spice to it.
Oh, I have heard this. It's raspberry forward.
Yeah. And the thing that's funny is, that was like the Coke freestyle machines.
Yeah.
Those were just gathering information.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
What's going on out there?
They're just starting to figure out.
They should have been paying us.
Yeah. That's
what
crazy.
This one article said. I'm going to go with it.
People were hitting the raspberry button.
I guess
a lot.
So. Yeah. The people were liking that.
I never once hit that raspberry button. I'm a vanilla guy from way back.
Mm-hmm. Me, I don't. I just cherry want guy, straight up Coke or cherry. I don't do the rest.
Well, cherry.
Or Sprite.
I mean, cherry. I mean, you got to give it to cherry.
You got
to
give it
to cherry.
Here's an interesting thing. Coke spiced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it spice or spiced?
Spiced.
Spiced.
Yeah.
Past tense.
Now,
the Coke's been spiced.
What are the two ingredients of a Calpe cordial? Cherry Coke and spiced rum.
Right.
So let's say you make a Calpe cordial with this stuff. It's spiced and spiced.
Interesting.
You go up to a bartender. Can I get spiced and spiced?
Well, here's what we're going to do to make it. We're doing.
Yeah. What's the official recipe?
Wait,
speaking of Calpe cordial, my shirt says Calpe cordial. My family gave me this.
That's a nice crest.
Yeah.
A crest on the shirt breast.
Yeah.
Continue. This is going to be, it's basically, we're just going to do rum and Coke.
Great.
So it's going to be 2 ounces of what I bought Bacardi white rum.
Great.
You bought that?
Well, I have one in the freezer. And then
top up.
Yeah. Ice, 2 ounces of Bacardi, top up with Coke. Lime option.
I'm taking
lime option.
I'm not going to take it till I've,
So I'm going to go wedge and then I'm going to squeeze.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, that's a spiced Cuba Libre.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, you know, it's vague.
That's a rumba tonga with spiced Coke.
Ooh, rumba tonga.
I have a spiced and spiced rumba tonga. I won't take the lime option.
And I'm saying it could be either in a highball glass or a
shorty
rocks glass. What do you have here, Jeff?
I got all that.
Okay.
Can I say something really quick?
Yeah. Looking at Tim, he looks like Wilson from Home Improvement. Because
my computer's blocking.
Yeah, I'm seeing like the bridge of his nose. And
do I spout wisdoms like Wilson? We recently went to see Bruce Springsteen, and we'll talk. That is for Patreon.
That's the blowout
subscribers to hear us talk about that. But one funny fact is, on that night we met at my place and I made us some batangas. Mm-hmm. Then the next night we were at that Rainbow show. My friend Tristan was in town and he had had a batanga at my place. And when we were at the bar, I was like, Tristan, let me get you a drink. And I said, I'll have a Jack and Coke to the bartender. I say, Tristan, what do you want? And he goes, tequila Coke. He got a batanga.
Wow.
Because he had gotten one before.
That's what he's got. He acquired a taste for it.
Did that bartender know the word? Or
I said tequila Coke, and then she didn't say, oh, a batanga.
Hmm.
I was hoping for, oh, a batanga.
That, I had a little trouble with the upstairs bartender.
Yeah.
I at one point was like, do you have any 16-ounce beers? And she was like, no. I was like, what beers do you have? Because he didn't have a list or anything. And she opened up the cooler, and she had a several different types of 16-ounce beers.
16? I can picture
she just
22.
Doesn't know ounces. That's the thing.
A tall boy's 22. No, 16 is like a...
Isn't that 16?
Oh, yeah. I guess like the big High Lifes.
Yeah. One of those. But I had a beer that was Iron Maiden style beer.
Oh, sure. That's, well, you guys want to take some sips?
Yeah, let's take a sip of that spiced and then make up the Bacardi.
Let's see if the spiced is nice.
Yes.
Ooh. Timmy?
Oh, thank you.
How come you guys are smarter than I am? How come we like this is just a drink that when you make like a rum and Coke, you just kind of stir it up, right? Why don't you shake a drink like that? Is it just not
carbonation?
Oh, of course. Ooh, I saw another TikTok thing. Interesting.
Okay.
It is very raspberry-y. I'm not getting any spice.
It tastes like something else to me. What? Mm. Another nostalgic taste that is like bringing me back to a
it's the article I read that was describing it said, a lot of people said Robitussin.
Mm. Cough syrup. I'm thinking of something that would bring me joy, though.
You mean losing that racking cough is joyous to you?
What about robo-tripping, man?
We should talk about that sometime, too.
There's a little spice, something like... not cinnamon clove, but mm-hmm. there's something doing that to my mouth a little bit.
It doesn't taste like a Coke to me, really.
You know what?
No.
I am raspberry mainly, and good raspberry, not like fake raspberry. Like I feel like the taste of a good fresh mm-hmm. raspberry. And then my breath after, I feel like a little like allspice. Yeah, like I had some Jamaican jerk chicken or something.
This is like holiday-ish.
Yeah.
It feels weird to debut come summer.
It's very sweet.
Or in the spring. I guess raspberry.
I gotta stop drinking so much of raspberry. It's so good.
It's interesting.
I love it.
All right, great.
All right, great. Let's get in there and start mixing these up.
I like it.
And then these suckers can listen to the ads.
Fools.
Oh. This would be a good time for them to do that.
Foolish all.
Okay, folks, we'll see you right back here after this.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we're back. Rum and Coke spiced in hand.
Rum and Coke spiced.
Rum and Coke spiced.
Now, I did look up, like, if this is, I'm sure anyone could put this together and probably has in the last 2 months. Mm. But I only saw recipes for spiced rum and Coke and not rum and Coke spiced. Here we go.
Bottoms up.
Mm. Aromatic already hitting the nose on that first sip.
Mm. Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah, man.
What the fuck does this remind me of? It's driving me crazy.
I didn't think it was going to come through. I'm getting still the raspberry, even with the rum.
That's not bad.
I think it brought out the flavor.
It kind of like tamped it down or something. Like the vodka.
No, not tamped.
Did it tamp?
It brought it out.
It brought out something else.
A third thing.
You know what's appropriate?
What?
What season is this?
Spring.
Springtime.
Is springtime not bramble season? Is not time for bramble ramble? And this are we feels... not having mm-hmm. a raspberry tasting wow. springtime?
That must have just yes. been in my bones, ingrained yep. in my yes. bones.
Yeah, the human body needs raspberries.
This time of year.
So you could have a Popo Nono on your hands.
Oh,
you get yourself a 20 ounce bottle of is that 20 ounce or is that 16? Those Coke bottles.
That 20, I think is 20.
Take a glug out of there, then pour your Bacardi nip in there. Mm-hmm. You're walking around. One of these ACAB cops guys tries to fuck with you and you gun them down.
Whoa.
Don't do that. Don't do that and then tell you that our podcast.
Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. Jeez Louise.
We do shoot cops around here, though, at the Sloppy Boys LLC.
Pause right after the
on site.
Our thing is more that, like, yeah, it should be more like, haha, you're getting away with something. It's a little bit of a crime to have a drink. And the cop didn't arrest you. Yeah. That's what you don't have to murder the guy.
No.
This glass, you poured me, this is an old-fashioned glass, but a lot of my old-fashioned glasses are like double old-fashioned. This is like a single low-ball glass, which is beautiful. Jeff, this is yours?
Yeah, you can get those at IKEA, my man.
Beautiful.
Classic cup.
I bet they're cheap. Is that like $1?
Yes.
Great. Now, Mike mixed this up for me, and you know what it reminded me of is in Risky Business.
Yes.
Tom Cruise is like, my parents are out of town. I'm making myself a drink. So he makes himself like is it a rum and tab? I think it's
a tab. Yeah, I think
and
so.
But the joke is that he fills it all the way up with rum and then little drop a tab. I remember, like, it's very pleasant glass to look at. And this gave me a flash of that. I really like I think it's a whiskey tab. I think it's a,
that yeah. makes sense. I feel like I've heard of a whiskey tab.
Whiskey business. Hey, did you see they were when that movie got so successful? I mean, it was so big. They were going to do another like a whole genre of like risky business type movies. And there was a guy, I think it was going to be Michael J. Fox, was going to do pretty much the same movie. But while his parents were out of town, he was running their bread bakery and he was going to it was called Risky Biscuit.
Right.
And they never made it. They never made it.
Yeah.
Because he went on to do, Michael J. Fox wanted to do Star Wars or whatever, that Back to the Future or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But he could have done Whiskey Biscuit.
They couldn't do Whiskey Biscuit.
Yeah, now it's called Whiskey Biscuit.
Everyone knows it as Whiskey Biscuit.
Now it is. Now we know it as Whiskey Business, the movie that never got made.
A Whiskey Biscuit sounds pretty good.
It does.
Yeah, Whiskey Biscuit. But like that story sounds cool, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like a good project.
So hold on. No, Risky Business is about a guy whose parents go out of town and he makes his house like a casino and a whorehouse.
Yeah.
It's a brothel.
And in this one, it would be that his parents are out of town and he runs their bread factory?
Yeah, I guess so. They never got around to rewrites because the thing got shut down because he wanted to do. They were only going to do it with Michael J.
So he's helping. Only. He's helping his out of town parents as opposed to getting away with something.
Hurting them.
Yeah, hurting them. the way that Tom Cruise is hurting his parents in that movie.
Yeah.
You hurt our feelings.
The evil pimp in Risky Business is Joey Pants, right?
Ooh.
Young, but he was never really young, was he?
No. I don't think
he was born bald.
I don't think
born bald and bitter.
Like we were all born bald and then we end bald, but Joey Pants, he wrote it all the way through.
Stuck with it.
That would be so funny to see, like, you know, like somebody in like seventh grade and they have male pattern baldness all the way back and just
hair. It was like a not a sitcom, but maybe like a
Charlie Brown.
Yeah, Charlie Brown.
But that dude's like eight.
It was like a Nickelodeon show or movie or something where like the kid was. Does that ring a bell to anybody?
Bald kid?
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember.
What the fuck?
I've been wrestling with this fucking peepop screen, my windscreen.
Yeah, be like me and put a black sock on it.
Actually, what I just did worked.
There you go.
You tighten it up.
It only sounded like a haunted house door for one second.
Yeah. Sure.
I thought the fucking trickster was going to walk in.
I know. Oh my God. Well, don't say his name. You never know, you know?
I was so close to contacting one of the local
foes,
menaces maybe getting this drink out to us, but a plan didn't come together.
I'm good. I'm glad. We don't need to, you know, seek them out.
Yeah, we don't need to court.
No, we don't want to court that sort of thing. You guys ever use like a Ouija board? Were you warned away from Ouija boards?
I did a Ouija board once and it was...
I was told not to court such things.
I never believed in it, never tried it. Didn't. I thought it was stupid.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, it was like you get answers or something, but you're just like, somebody's moving it. No, nobody's moving it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what that thing is called?
The Ouija board.
Planchette.
Planchette.
Oh, what do you mean?
That thing is called a planchette.
What is the thing you're touching?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Planchette.
It's named after
planchette.
Named after Kate Blanchett.
She could have been
poorly
whiskey,
named after.
She could have been a whiskey biscuit too.
She's, yeah, I know.
Around the same age.
Oh,
I don't know.
But any of that light as a feather, stiff as a board type shit. Any weird?
I would do the. My friends and I did the Bloody Mary thing once.
Yeah, mirrors in the dark. I don't like.
Hmm. Mirrors in the dark, all right.
Say mirrors for the blowout, in the bathroom. Mike.
Yeah. Say it for the blowout. See, this is, save it for the blowout.
Guy,
Jesus.
This is where you got to have a guy like Mitch around who believes in the devil.
Right, and he, yeah.
That's so cute.
He would have scary stories about, you know, exorcisms and Bloody Marys and light
that
as a feather.
That he
and,
witnessed?
No, just...
Oh, okay. I've never seen anyone do the light as a feather thing I thought was the coolest, like, idea, but I never...
Never works.
No.
How could you? How could it work?
Yeah. Little kids lifting up people with their fingers.
You'd have to have 30 of them and it wouldn't be impressive.
You couldn't reach. Not all of them could fit around the body to be lifted.
I really think it's, well, I'm going to alienate some listeners right now, but why not? You know,
we're no stranger to that here at the Sloppy Boys LLC.
Somebody right now listening, did he just mention us?
Alienate?
Mm-hmm. Did he just mention us?
Well, let's go back to Zorgon Blabo.
Take me to your podcaster.
Take me to your host.
I have real trouble when by the lot. Look, I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic school and stuff. So I know Christian people, and I respect their religion, right? Mm-hmm. And then
this is going to upset people.
Yeah. But then they want to get into heaven, right? They believe in heaven. They
don't want to sing. This is going to ruffle a few feathers.
So, and I respect that. And I don't want to step on anyone's faith. I encourage it. If people believe in things I don't, that's great.
Here comes one.
But
because who's
going to get people's panties in the twist with this?
By definition, mm-hmm. if you believe in heaven, by definition, you believe in hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
not really.
Are there people who just think there's heaven and then there's purgatory and limbo, but there's no...
I know the Jewish religion doesn't believe in
hell. Yeah, that's why I'm talking about these Catholics I grew up with.
Okay.
Well, consistency, they're not known for their consistency, Tim, but go ahead.
I just think it's very funny if an adult believes in hell. I think believing in heaven sounds like a nice idea, and I would like to try to believe in heaven, and I wouldn't slag off anyone for their wonderful faith. But if you think you go to a fiery place and there's a devil-y guy and he's red and he has little horns and he pokes you with a fork mm-hmm. and it's like, ouch, oh man, I'm down here forever.
It's worse than that, but yeah.
And there's a little bit of fire. Oh man,
it's not a little bit of fire. It's the worst you can
imagine. Oh my ass, man. What kind of stone is that? Brim?
I got burned right on my poke mark from before.
Oh, right in the same spot. Wait, what's brimstone?
Fire and Brimstone. I don't know.
You know, all you know is it doesn't smell good when they like fire and brimstone. That's like sulfur.
Yeah, I was I always just pictured brimstone as like if burning. You had a log that was burning and you broke it up into like the cinders or something.
Oh, brimstone.
I have no idea.
Well, we don't even know what brimstone is.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a listener and you know what brimstone is, let us, maybe that'll maybe make me come around. Maybe brimstone is so legit that I'm like, oh yeah, sure. Hell's real.
Well, I just
go ahead.
Because you said that, but because you have such evidence, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Yeah. This is where it's
no, but here's what's interesting. What? I am merely a guinea pig. The things I'm saying right now are merely what a human man says once he's drinking a rum and Coke spiced.
Yes.
If you want to get a little spicy.
I raise a man Catholic, wait till he's 40, give him a rum and Coke spiced.
He'll say this exact shit.
He'll stop believing in hell. I'll say, tell you what, I drank half of this. It hit me kind of hard because I haven't eaten in several hours. We had lunch together, but it's later now.
We had all that pho.
You had pho, I had Tom Kha, and Mike had curry.
Beef curry.
All right. Okay. I apologize.
But I'll tell you this.
Cube beef.
I drank half of it. It hit me and I started making fun of Catholics. I've already forgotten about that.
That's good pot fodder. And also, Tim,
nobody's making fun. You're just expressing your ideas and we're having a conversation.
I'm merely a guinea pig. Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage and you guys are watching. But I also say this. I took one more sip. I've forgotten about the hell thing. I've moved on to fantasizing about those Mama Celeste pizzas that Mike got us.
Okay, no, wait. No,
they're in Jeff's fridge. We're going to have three frozen pizzas after this.
Yes, Supreme, look. Suprema, Deluxe, and Pepperoni Sausage.
Hey, there are no ribs from Butcher Box, but they'll do.
God, that was beautiful. That was a beautiful time.
I hope that most modern day Catholics don't actually believe that when you die, you go to you live on a cloud and a bearded God says, great job.
That sounds nice. That's great.
It does. With all your friends. And it's like, what if you had multiple wives? Like, now you got to like pick, you got to.
No, everyone's getting along.
There's 70 virgins waiting for you up there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't conceive of the happiness of it all. Right. And you can't conceive of the pain of hell. That's the other thing. But you know, we all know that heaven and hell are places on earth. They're states of mind. Do we not?
It's right here sometimes.
I feel like
between you and I.
I would hope for anyone's sake that they're not living for some potential afterlife, but
I think this is how you're supposed to live. Don't live in fear. Live in
beer.
that's appropriate sometimes. Live in active positive service towards your fellow man.
Ooh, Michael.
That I agree with, and I'll tell you one thing. I just mentioned my friend Tristan, right? My high school friend who was visiting came to Springsteen with us.
Yes.
This guy was straight out of high school. He was a Marine, and now he's a firefighter, right?
Yeah.
And I've been out with him in public, and like,
let's say
so he went from opening fire to closing down fire.
Yes. When you shoot, you open fire. Mm-hmm. When you extinguish fire, you close.
You're closing down fire.
Now he has. And he doesn't listen to the pod, but his wife does. And here's the interesting thing.
The fuck?
His name is Tristan and her name is Kristen. Rhyming names.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
If you date someone with a rhyming name, you're probably going to get married.
Was it like that one summer I dated that bike?
Huffy?
Ooh, those spokes tore my ass up.
Did I remember you riding that thing where you took the seat off and the pipe was just going right up the Hershey Highway.
Okay.
All right.
What I was going to say about Tristan. So just notice this drink. First, it was the Catholic stuff and then it was the Mama Celeste. And
Tristan
now
doesn't listen.
It's about public service because you were talking about
Hold on. Keep that in your head. Go ahead.
No, no. Tristan just doesn't listen, but Kristen, yes, she do.
Yes, she do. Oh, who are you?
You
said something about like service.
Always, active service,
right,
for others.
So, just I've been out in public with Tristan, and like, let's say you're in like a parking lot, and like an old lady's loading groceries into her trunk of her car. He'll be like, "Man, would you like some help?" And she's like, "Yes," and then he does it. Or like you're walking across a crosswalk, and there's like, you know, somebody is like, old guy's carrying something. He's like, would you like, or what? Mm. It's not always only carrying.
Yeah.
But he was like, he was like, he's like, I help people. Yeah. And I was like, what? And he's like, Yeah, you know, when I see people that need help, I help them. And I was like, oh, right, because you were a Marine and you're a firefighter and you exist on Earth to make life better for the people around.
Fantastic.
That's interesting. He's gone to 2 service jobs. Go ahead, Jeff.
I've had one or two of those kind of come my way where I just felt compelled to help because it was just such an obvious scenario where like, I'm an able-bodied dude walking by this person who's like, can't get up the stairs
or underneath this barrel.
Truly, like a neighbor the other day, like a woman, I apparently like fell out of her wheelchair or something like that.
Oh, shit.
And her son or an assistant were having trouble kind of like pulling her up the stairs. And
in your building,
and you just next door, and you can't walk by a scenario like that. I don't know, but I would jump.
I would ollie my skateboard right over him.
But Tristan, it feels like helping with a grocery. I feel like I walk by that all the time. I feel a bit selfish.
Well, I'll help people on the subway. If I see people like trying to get down the stairs with a big like cart, I'm like, I can get that for you. And they're like, no. And I'm like,
I've seen you do that in the subway once. Somebody had like a bike or like a big bag, and you ran it up the stairs, like,
because the train was coming.
Oh yeah,
so I didn't get them up there. I also that got it was like it was her like grocery cart, and this woman, she had some kids too, so she was kind of wrangling the kid, like 2 kids, kind of going. Ah. I like helped her up, but the train was coming, so I was moving really fast with her, and I like kind of was like pushing her, and she was like, hold on. I was like pushing her down. That's like, oh, sorry.
Damn.
She's like, please stop.
Please stop. You're hurting me.
So Mike, heaven, Jeff, heaven, Tristan, heaven, Tim.
Well, listen to this. When I'm on a flight and the flight lands and then we all stand up and the overhead compartment's open, I'm pulling down bags for
there
ladies.
There you go. Left baby. Right.
You Bingo. little lady, you get a bag.
Some of the older men.
This is good.
That's maybe the only time I help a stranger. The other thing that I do.
This kind of also helps everyone. You're setting off a good karma bomb.
Thank you.
We got to talk about it's airlines in a second, too.
Well, you should do stand-up about airlines, but
I have some shit locked
in for your fucking tidy.
A thing about me is that this is lazy, and I think also if you just
lazy
because
guy.
It's money, it's
lazy
easy. But I'll leave quite often like a weirdly big tip. If somebody does a good job or somebody seems nice, I'll leave 100% tip sometimes.
Woo.
Big fat tip.
That's fun.
And it's selfish almost because I feel like the rest of the day I'm like, I'm a wonderful man.
Sure.
But I'll leave a Santa Clausy tip, like a huge one, maybe once a month, and I'll sneak off. I had a good like interaction with a bartender recently, and then my tab was like $27, and I left a $27 tip, and I tiptoed away.
Perfect.
Nice.
Off I go.
There you go.
One time I was in San Francisco. We were doing the Sketch Fest.
Off I go.
And I was up there.
I whisper that as I run. Off
I
go.
I was up there a day early because I was doing a stand-up show, and then we were doing Birthday Boys and Sloppy Boys the next day. So I was a day early, and I just went into some bar that no one was really at, and I was talking to the bartender, and he was saying he was trying to take his family to Hawaii. He had a big trip planned, but something happened with their house or their car. He had to something happened. They had to get like repairs done, so they went down. And I was like, oh, that sucks. I was getting drunk by myself and talking to him. And then at the end of the night, I left like a $100 tip.
Nice. And then
I was like getting back to my hotel. I was like, what the fuck am I giving this guy?
Well, what's so funny is that you're with a bartender. It's like you're drunk when it's happening. So you know it's like me. Because I did the very same thing. Last summer, I was at the Jersey Shore and I was getting drunk during the day at a boardwalk. And the bartender, she was from Haiti on like an exchange program. Mm-hmm. And she was so excited to be in America because she wanted to be like a journalist and she was going to school in America, but she was talking about like, it's really school's expensive and everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I only had like 3 beers, but then I left $100 tip and I was like, oh, I feel so good about myself. And then like the buzz wears off and I'm like,
what did I fucking do?
Message received with like half that much, you know?
Or it
doesn't have, you don't have to go above and beyond. Just leave.
Anyway. I think I wrote like enjoy Hawaii.
Well, 100 is such a clean whopper of a number. Come on.
The math was easy when I was.
If you're like a big spender, like a rich dude, and just like peeling off hundreds for valet people.
Damn. You know, I've heard as a notoriously poor tipper is Michael Jordan. Have you heard this?
Really?
I had heard that. I Was that in the documentary?
I don't know. It's like,
I'll tell you what. When we're in Chicago, we go to Michael Jordan's steakhouse and we stiff the wait staff.
Yeah, that'll get back to him.
He's like, he calls in, how are the tips tonight at the restaurant? Sloppy Woods did what?
I remember hearing, I read the Tiger Woods book that came out a few years ago.
Oh, that was that thing of swinging and hitting ball toward hole, I think it was called.
Yeah, yeah. The Tiger Woods
swinging, swinging and hitting ball toward hole.
Yeah, better than most of the guys that you play.
That's a roar.
Washoo. The cover had a little chip in it.
Washoo.
But he did some stuff where, like, at the time when he was like on top of the world and just money flowing in, his father died, but I think his father was like a Marine or a Navy guy, and he would go and train with the Navy SEALs.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, he would.
I saw this in the doc.
Yeah. He would do his the situations where
it's dorky.
They pull a hood off your face and you've got a gun and you just deal with whatever situation. Anyway, but the story was that I read that he would go out to lunch with these guys afterwards and not pay or it's on me.
The whole Tiger thing and being raised by an extreme dad.
Nuts.
But that's how you get your Beyoncés. That's how you get your Michael Jacksons. That's how you get your...
But there's probably so many examples of that, of extreme dads who didn't know what they were saying or doing, and they just made a kid miserable for no reason.
The thing with Tiger, though, what I got from the book was his dad was really hey, go into the garage and start hitting balls.
Yeah.
His mom was also very involved, too. And he also liked it a lot. It's when you get a kid who's I don't want to do that. It's no, do it. he just could hit it and that thing. I think with any athlete or super celebrity or,
where it comes down to just repetition and discipline.
It's this person needs to be obsessed with
the
sport. In sort of a weird way where you're just I'm shooting free throws every single day, 1,000.
You're singularly focused on one
and
thing.
And I like it too. It's not like this is work.
The way that we grew up just podcasting and speaking into any microphone we could get our hands on. And now look at us.
Guy Lafleur, famous Montreal Canadian Guy Lafleur.
And he ended up on the Rangers eventually, didn't he?
Did he?
He had that thing where it was the era of the helmet, but he was grandfathered in where he didn't have to wear a helmet.
I feel like every big athlete has Jordan played for the Wizards for a second.
Yeah.
Gretzky played for
Rangers.
The Rangers and the Blues, St. Louis. Yeah, for a hot second. Anyway, what was I saying, Jeff? What's going on about
repetition
something?
And being
Guy Lafleur? He loved.
No, let's get off the hockey.
Something about
trying
him.
To get away from
something
the
in his brain. So he just loved to be out on the ice skating. Like it was beautiful
was
for him.
And
but it's a little faster than walking.
But
a little colder too.
You're not getting the beauty of this, Jeff.
I've skated.
It runs to. No, you don't skate. You don't skate like Guy Lafleur. You don't skate
like Guy Lafleur. Jeff, you can't do backwards crossovers.
The flower.
Ooh, I can skate pretty good. Where stick meets puck, Guy Lafleur tops me every time.
Sure.
not to mention where puck meets net.
Well, but puck meets net, you might have Ken Dryden to deal with if we're talking about the Montreal Canadiens of yore. Sure, and I read that little tidbit in Ken Dryden's book. Okay.
Okay, look.
What position was Jean Beliveau?
He must have been a forward, I guess.
This is killing me. Tim, this must be how you feel when we bring up geek shit like Fortnite.
Yeah.
Maurice Richard was, I believe, a win.
This is dead time. I'm hitting the forward 15 seconds on my podcast listening app.
I don't know what Dennis Savard played.
I don't like when you guys talk geek shit because...
You don't have a way in.
Actually, maybe the hockey thing would be similar, Jeff, because I don't like... It's okay that in real life when you guys are talking about, but when you guys talk about Fortnite on the pod...
Biggest video game in the world.
Sure, absolutely. But there's something about it being on a pod where I didn't want to be a podcaster with my life. So then sometimes we're talking about video games on a pod. We're talking about Waluigi or Toad.
Yeah, I love that shit.
And I'm like, oh, I'm... on a podcast talking about videos, because that you're just doing the most podcasty thing. But I would say sports, there's probably more sports podcasts than geek podcasts, possibly.
I wonder.
I mean, sports is the biggest thing.
Is the biggest thing.
But
geek shit by definition is, well, I mean, what's the handoff? Are we calling Marvel and Boone geek shit?
My gosh. Well, we're not calling you. You are.
Just also the idea of like a sports nerd was a thing that has kind of is a recent invention to me, because it used to be like jock shit to me, but now there are, I've met a lot of fans of sports who are not athletic in and of themselves. They just love statistics.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they love to watch like physical excellence on a screen. When you watch
like analysts talk about like the game that just happened or like the games that are coming up, that's no different than like Extra, where it's like, here, Brad Pitt and Jolie did this old news.
But also, I think of podcasts being like geekier, but now podcasts are just, that's just a new form of media that doesn't have any sort of like, it doesn't have a geek bent anymore at all.
No, no, no.
It's not technological. It's
like, you can't say that like television is geeky.
Yeah, right, right.
But we were talking earlier today about like nerds who aren't smart, like the nerds in your school wasn't smart. And sports wise, there was a kid in my hometown that I was friends with where it was like his older brother was like a lacrosse playing athlete type guy. And then this guy, the younger brother, was like a frail nerd, but he was really into sports, like statistics. And he knew all the Mets players and all the Mets statistics. And I remember like the soundbite, we'd be like, well, you know, this one guy's great at sports, but then the other guy's, he's really smart with the statistics and stuff. They both have their thing going. And, I looked it up, recently, and it was like, they both, like the statistics guy didn't go on to be a smart whiz. He was just a loser. And then the sports guy didn't go on to be a professional athlete. He's coaching at a local high school. And you're just like, oh yeah. Like
you thought you had Michael Jordan and Jordan Belfort.
Exactly. I did. And meanwhile, I'm Timothy Jordan Galbagas, and I'm a big Hollywood success
over there in upstate New York.
But you know, it's like in your own little microcosm of your small world. Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh yeah, this big thing. But I was like, no.
I remember like playing hockey, and like if there was like a better kid on the team, like, wow, that guy's gonna go to the NHL. That's gonna be cool.
But when you anyone who's ever played in the NHL, when they were in like peewee hockey, they dominated in such an obvious way that it's comical to watch.
They're all the best kids on their like travel
in their state. A different species is like playing.
It's not like, oh, he had two goals tonight. It's like, oh, he had 10 goals every night.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, you haven't touched your rum and Coca-Cola spice.
It's very sweet.
I powered right through mine. Check me out.
Have you gotten to the Mama Celeste portion? Or are you still up there at the hell and brimstone portion?
I'm at the, I feel like it's losing its like power a little bit. I think the ice melting is fucking
sort of lost its groove.
Mm-hmm. Polar ice caps.
Tim, how you doing on yours?
I finished it a long time ago, and I feel a little tipsy and happy, and I love the drink, and I want another one.
Now me to too. Do different, I'm going to, do you have spiced rum at all? Like a Captain?
Yeah, I got some Captains.
I'm going to try spice.
But lime though? Lime though now or no?
No.
Up to you.
Ah.
So, hey, second round is weird haul.
Do you know how hard it is to have two limes, to have me looking at two
really
limes?
Nice, shiny
two
limes.
Two nice big juicers, gushers. Just waiting to be squeezed.
It feels like the citrus wouldn't go, but then you're right with lime and raspberries. Yeah, classic.
Like a lime raggy.
Am I not drinking a raspberry lime seltzer as we speak?
He is, folks. He is.
You got to do that. I'm going to put a lime in my spiced and spiced.
Me too.
Yeah, in my spiced and spiced.
All right, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. More Sloppy Boys coming up.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Jingle, jingle, jingle.
Ooh, that smells good, the spiced and spiced.
Mmm. That's right, folks. We're back with round two.
With a lime.
With a lime.
You put the lime. I'm not using my lime.
Oh, wow. This is even more like flavorful. Who knows what spice is in the spiced rum?
Yeah.
I got
it. Oh, wait. Is that a question?
Yeah. I mean,
do you know the answer to
that? No, not that I, but like you could say spiced and there are a million spices. Yeah.
Could be pepper.
I don't know. Yeah. Captain Morgan, it tastes kind of like vanilla.
Yeah.
This intrepid, brave cola is still coming through. I can still taste raspberry.
Hint of raspberry sweet nice. Up top.
You know what I did too with mine? I put in less cola in this one.
You did?
Yeah.
In mine too?
No, I put you up to the top, but I stopped mine. Here, because yeah. I wanted to just see if I could get more of that vodka flavor. Or the
I also added more cubes.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Mm.
Wow, it's good.
I just got a hint of a Good and Plenty.
Oh, that's still not the nostalgic, brain fart that I can't think of.
It's a pretty good drink.
Okay. Final thoughts.
I love it. I love it. It's better than a rum and coke.
Yeah, for some, we just kind of whipped it. I mean, obviously, those drinks are easy to put together, just two ingredients.
Sure.
But it's good.
I love a Cuba Libre. Yeah. It was one of the discoveries of the pod. Mike, I made some last night. Did you see me?
You did?
Sucking them down.
Did you see me?
I saw you.
What were we watching?
We were watching
Curb.
We were watching YouTube videos.
YouTube videos and Curb.
YouTube videos of what? That's a pretty broad category.
We watched a lot of Scottish kids. Scottish kid like blooper video. Like the girls
school.
Yeah, yeah. School.
And then also, the other one that's like,
it's not charging my iPad because it's got used to your iPad.
You idiot.
I hope you're happy because I've told mom.
Got used to it.
You idiot.
And then there's another one which I love where a guy's trying to catch a bat in his kitchen and his friend who's holding the camera is like, get it, Denny.
Denny, get it.
You nearly got it.
It sounds like he's saying daddy, which is really funny.
Right.
When I first saw it, I was like, why is this like able-bodied, I don't know, 40-year-old guy filming his like 65-year-old friend hobbling around trying to catch a bat, being like, you've got it, daddy, you've got it.
Oh, man.
Would
you catch him, Derry?
I went to a wedding in St. Andrews, Scotland one time. And a guy says, have you had any scotch since you've been in town? And I said, yeah, actually, I got off the plane at the airport. They gave me a free shot of Glenfiddich. And he goes, Glenfiddich is piss.
Wow.
So now I know, don't drink Glenfiddich.
What do you remember the brands, scotch brands in Scotland?
I don't know what he would have said was not piss. I mean, what, Lafroig?
Yeah. There's some flies around here, huh?
They've been buzzing around me for weeks.
I think it's the stink lines.
I'm like Pig Pen.
They're attracted to the stink.
Well, it's an order again for me. It's not as good as a Cuba Libre, let's be honest.
Wait, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
This fly remembered me that remember me. Why am I drunk off of one of these?
You haven't eaten all day.
I'm a world class, but we ate a huge lunch.
Dude, you need a Celeste.
You need a Celeste.
I need a Celeste.
Not until after.
Celeste is the best. The fly reminded me of a bit that I thought was funny, which was that during my brief stint as a guest writer for SNL for 2 weeks.
Yes.
It happened to be one of the weeks was
Fly Week.
It was the anniversary. I don't know if it's an album cover or a magazine cover or whatever, but you know that picture of Janet Jackson and somebody's reaching around from the back and covering
it? It's a Rolling Stone cover.
Yeah,
it's
Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
It was like the 30th anniversary of that cover, so I pitched a Weekend Update bit where that guy was on and the reveal was that he hadn't washed his hands in 30 years. And when he held up his hands, there was going to be, we're going to animate flies around him. Like,
it's like dirt and flies, like birds.
Could have been very funny. Any SNL writers listening, you should use that tonight.
Try that. Yeah. When it's the 40th anniversary of that picture.
Yeah. We're almost there.
Yeah. Or even 35th anniversary. Try that.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. And if you can't get enough boys, go to patreon.com/thesloppyboys and you can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, the better show we talk about all the time.
This week we talked about going to a Bruce Springsteen concert.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
I like that guy. I like his music.
Bruce.
Listen to Jeff.
Bruce. And then, folks, like we said, follow the socials for all the stuff we got coming up this spring. It's a busy spring for us. We got screenings. We got shows. We want to see you out there on the road.
We
want to
see you.
Come on out,
folks.
There's
a lot of opportunities for it. And I know some people are going to say, well, when are you coming to Texas? We'll get there when we get there.
We're already in Texas.
That's true. We're in Florida. We'll come to Florida when we get there. We'll come to Florida.
Invite us sometime.
I would love to go to Florida because...
He's a gator boy.
I want to go to
Beachcomber. Where's that Don the Beachcomber place?
I mean, if we did Florida, we'd probably go to like Miami, but I think it's more on the Tampa side, Gulf side.
There's two types of people in this world.
Yep.
Miami types and Tampa types.
I'm a Key West type. I love the Keys.
Surfers.
You're like Moondog.
I love Moondog, yeah.
And I like Tallahassee.
Bye, folks.
Bye.
Bye.